listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Jonathan Capehart, in for Leonard Lopate. The Supreme Court released its decision this morning on two closely watched gay rights cases. The first ruling struck down Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, and found that the federal government must recognize gay couples who are legally married in their state. The second ruling effectively allows gay marriage in California by not upholding the 2008 referendum known as Proposition 8. We're joined now by Lene Erickson-Hitalski, Director of Social Policy and Politics at Third Way. Lene, welcome to the Leonard Lopate Show.
Thanks for having me, Jonathan.
So, Lene, the decision to strike down part of DOMA was 5-4, with Justice Anthony Kennedy joining the court's four liberal members for the majority. What is the impact of this decision on gay couples who are legally married in states like New York and Maryland?
So, and also in D.C.
Right, exactly.
For people like me who are married in D.C. and those married in other marriage states across the country, we will now be able to have our marriage recognized by the federal government. And that means everything from being able to protect your spouse if you're in the military to being able to get the Social Security benefits that you've paid in for your spouse, to being able to cover your spouse on your health care without tax penalty, to things like what happened with Edie Windsor, who was the plaintiff in the case, where she was actually charged almost $400,000 in tax penalties for a joint piece of property that she owned with her wife after she passed away. So it has really important practical impacts for couples that are married in these marriage states.
So with regard to Edie Windsor, so what does this ruling mean for her? Does she get all of that money back?
Yep, she gets a $360,000 check from the government. Probably not today, but soon.
Hey, but at least she's getting it back. So it's my understanding that the DOMA ruling does not establish a constitutional right to marriage. So why has the court made this an issue for the states to decide on their own?
So in the court's opinion, and even in what gay advocates were arguing for in the DOMA case, marriage has always been decided at the state level. And this DOMA was really the only time that the federal government has come in to override the decisions of state legislatures and state courts about what marriages they're going to say are valid versus what ones they're going to disregard.
Mm-hmm.
So the court really said, listen, this has always been the job of the states, and it continues to be the job of the states, and picking out this one single class of marriages that you're not going to recognize because you don't like them is not a good enough reason.
So, Lene, there's something here. So Section 2 of DOMA, which says that no state has to recognize a same-sex marriage from another state, does that still stand?
Yes, and there was a decision, a strategic decision made not to challenge that in the same case that we were challenging the Section 3 provision that defines marriage at the federal level. So years ago when litigators were trying to decide what they were going to challenge, they said, let's get out of the way this federal ban first, and then we'll move on to the more complicated issue of what it means to go from state to state with your marriage. But the other piece is that Section 2 has a legal effect, but it's not as big as the legal effect of Section 3, because in constitutional law generally, states are allowed to make a decision about whether or not they want to respect the marriage of some other state. And this just basically says you don't even have to go through your regular process of deciding that. You just don't have to recognize it. But that's really, you know, it's really a distinction that is playing at the margins, whereas Section 3 was just ignoring vast amounts of married people and denying them these protections that everyone else has.
Right. So at least now with Section 3 out of the way, same-sex couples can get married. Now, as you said at the top of this interview, you got married in the district. So let's say you were to get a job in, say, Kansas. As a result of DOMA being declared unconstitutional, what does that mean for your marriage?
It means a very, very complicated set of realities for me, because every single benefit at the federal level is decided in a different way. There's a different standard for immigration. There's a different standard for taxes. There's a different standard for military benefits. And that is what Congress and the administration are now going to have to wade through. So for immigration purposes, I would still be considered married, because under immigration law, your marriage is judged as valid for federal purposes if it was legal where you got married.
Mm-hmm.
But for Social Security, I wouldn't be considered married because your marriage is only considered valid if it's recognized by the state where you live. And so that is going to be a huge problem that is in the law and going to have to go back to Congress for them to fix. The Obama administration can't fix the Social Security piece on their own.
I'm Jonathan Capehart here today for Leonard Lopate, and I'm speaking with Lene Hatalski of Third Way, talking about the historic decisions by the Supreme Court today. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. Two questions related to something you just said in the previous answer. One, about Congress going in and making some fixes to sort of ameliorate the discrepancies here in Social Security law. Will the Republican House go along with these fixes?
I suspect not, and I think
it's
we're going to
called
have
a leading question.
a fight about this, but you know, I think that marriage proponents in Congress are going to be clear that what we need to do is make sure that we're being consistent in how we apply this and recognizing marriages for federal purposes, and not going back and forth and marrying and unmarrying people all mm-hmm. over the country based on what state they happen to be in. So I think there will be a big push to continue to pass the Respect for Marriage Act, which has been gaining steam over the past couple of years, and that would really make sure that we put all of our laws into this standard that says if your marriage was valid where it was celebrated, then we're going to treat you as married.
We're running out of time, but I have to ask you before we get to Prop 8, what's the impact of DOMA, the DOMA ruling on immigration policy, and particularly binational gay couples, because that was an issue in the whole immigration debate in the Senate?
It was, and I suspect that this decision takes that controversy off the table, because while it doesn't fix everything for binational same-sex couples, it makes things a heck of a lot easier, because for immigration law purposes, your marriage is judged as valid if it was valid in the place that it was celebrated. So if you are if you get married in one of these 12, now 13 with California, marriage states, and then you move somewhere else, the federal government will still let you petition for your spousal mm-hmm. visa. So that is really been fixed.
So the other gay rights ruling, of course, was Hollingsworth v. Perry, which we all know as the Prop 8 case. Why did the Supreme Court find that the supporters of Prop 8 did not have standing in this case?
So what they actually found was that no one had the right to appeal, because California, the state, did not want to defend Proposition 8. The governor opposes it. The AG opposes it. They said, we're not defending it. We're not appealing the initial trial court ruling that it's unconstitutional. And then some people who had helped, you know, gather petitions to put Proposition 8 on the ballot decided they were going to appeal it. But that's not really how our legal system works. We don't just let any person come in and say, I'm going to argue for the state on this behalf. They had no relationship to the state of California and really no relationship to that law after it was passed. So it would be like saying I could step in and defend any state on anything I wanted to, mm-hmm. you know, even 20 years later. And it would have really created a confusing mess for, you know, for judging who has the right to represent a state in court in the future.
And so real quickly, since the court stopped short of declaring a constitutional right to marry, will it have to rule at some point on whether there is a constitutional right to same-sex marriage?
I suspect that we'll be back here in about a decade looking at a bigger decision. You know, we've seen how far the court has come in the 10 years since Lawrence versus Texas was decided,
right,
10 years ago.
Today.
When they struck down the sodomy law. And I think in 10 years, you know, we could have 30 or 35 states with marriage, and then the court will probably have to come back and clean up the difference like they did mm-hmm. in Loving. But today's decision was really a big step towards that path.
And am I wrong in my recollection that there are still one or two other same-sex marriage cases pending, or at least ready to bubble up for Supreme Court review?
There are some that are kind of tangentially related to this. The ones that are literally on DOMA will just be controlled by the decision that happened today. So all of those couples won today, even if it wasn't their case that the court was reviewing. There are other related issues. Some of these issues about what happens if you move state to state, mm-hmm. or you know, what happens if you're a photographer that doesn't want to photograph a gay couple's wedding, that will be continuing to percolate up in the court in just the next couple of years. So we'll keep seeing this happening, much to the chagrin of Justice Scalia.
I've been talking about today's Supreme Court rulings on gay marriage with Lene Erickson Hatalski, Director of Social Policy and Politics at Third Way. Lene, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.